Hey guys, it's Joyce, and this is officially my third podcast. Like, I'm actually getting into the groove of everything. First and foremost, thank you for listening. And today we're going to be talking about healthy parenting tips. If you don't know, I do have a daughter. She is in middle school. She's actually getting ready to turn 12 really soon, and I'm so grateful for her. I get asked all the time, wow, she's very well behaved, you know, what did you do? And so I just want to share some things that I've learned along the way that can be helpful to you. I think that people think that I embellish when I tell people like what I feel really helped us. But in all honesty, I feel like the reason why she is, you know, just has like this really good disposition and is extremely well behaved is because very early on, you need to teach a child who they are. Okay, you teach them their name, you teach them their values, you teach them their self-esteem, all that comes from you in the very early phases of their childhood. So they don't actually have the ability to analyze anything until they go through puberty. So, you know, from 0 to maybe 9, you have that time frame to be their guide. And very early on, I established who she was, a spirit being. God is extremely important to us, and I'm not trying to force my views on anyone, but we do believe in God, and we do believe that we are spirit beings having a human experience. And helping her understand at a very early age, like, children, they get it at a very early age. Like, ironically, they're not as close to spiritual things as what you would think. They ask a lot of questions. But at a very early age, I was just like, you know, this is God. And, you know, I established a need for her to understand authority and limits. Okay. And the fear of the Lord was established very early on. And we would have prayer time together, and we would pray, and I would open my Bible with her and, you know, read the Bible to her. And it was very sacred. I mean, those experiences, I got those really deep in her very, very early on. And those sacred moments, I thank God for that, because honestly, I feel like, you know, she would just have just a different approach to life if she didn't have like that boundary and that limit, and, you know, was conscious in that sense. So that's what worked for me, and it's never too late to, you know, just maybe reintroduce your child to who they really are if you feel like that's something that you want to do. Number two, I feel like it's important for you to know that children do what you do, not what you say. So you need to be very careful with your words and who is around your child. I know for me personally, I don't play when it comes to words with my child. I don't play with people disrespecting my child. I stick up for her, okay? Because people who get taken advantage of are children and the elderly, because they don't really have a voice. And, you know, I say this all the time, like when children don't have like a parent, this is the most dangerous space that they could possibly be in, because they don't have somebody to be their advocate. And sometimes they can get taken advantage that way. So all of those factors, including, you know, who's around your child, who their friends are, all those factors can influence your child in both a positive and a negative way. Like, I don't care how many times my child, you know, or who she's with, and when she comes back, I'm checking her. I'm asking questions. Did someone touch you? Did someone do? And she's like, no, mama, no. Like, But you have to check your child's disposition when they leave, you know, from someone else as well, and they're not in your care. Check their mood. Did something happen? Because sometimes the nonverbal speaks louder than the verbal. If you see the child starting to act a different way, then maybe something happened when they were with such and such, and they're trying to process those emotions. Like, all of those things, like, you have to be super cognizant of and pay attention. Number three, I like to plan ahead. I am super planner. Time is money to me. And, you know, you need to be wise with your time. So pre-plan those meals, create a grocery list, create a shopping list, create a meal plan list for the week, and stick to it. Try to get into some sort of routine. Maybe Saturdays we go grocery shopping, or maybe Sundays we go grocery shopping. You know, also what's really helpful to me is to buy things in bulk from the store, like Costco, where, you know, or if you don't have a Costco around you, maybe you have a Sam's Club. But you know, the goal is to save money, because some of these things like snacks and juices are things that you're going to be using on a weekly basis. And if you go to Publix or Whole Foods, you're going to be spending a lot more money in the long run to buy those individual packs than to just buy them in bulk at a Costco or Sam's Club. So don't wing it. You'll actually end up, you know, actually not only spending more money, you'll be spending more energy and time by going off of your actual routine in your schedule. Good parenting involves good planning. Just like anything else in life, like, you plan for your finances, you plan when it comes to working out. And parenting is a proactive approach to planning your child's future. Even when it comes to me scheduling her doctor's visits, what I like to do is just kind of get them all done like in the summer, and I'll do like a whole bunch like on one day in the summer, morning, you know, midday, afternoon, just to get them out the way. And that way, you know, I don't have to be running up and down, wasting more energy and more time to get these doctor's visits, dentist visits, eye doctor appointments out of the way. Number four, don't allow your kid to roam the internet without any proper safety parameters. Like, the internet is dangerous AF. There are plenty of helpful apps out there to help you on, you know, your smartphones. I mean, like, they're making it easier for parents to monitor and control what's going on with their kids' phones. You can also check their phones while they sleep. I know I personally do. I don't care how many apps I have, like, you're still a kid. This is still my phone, okay? And I'm still in control of what's going on here. So I still go through those messages just to make sure that, you know, I'm not missing anything. Snapchats, Instagrams, like, go through all that information and just check and see, you know, I'm not tripping over, you know, little small things. But if it's like a red flag, or if I see maybe, you know, this person is instigating a fight or something, then I'm definitely going to have a talk with her, because, you know, I don't want to put her in a position to where, you know, she's in danger or anything like that. So I also have an app that locks down her device at a certain time. So at 9 p.m., her internet shuts off on her device, and, you know, she can't even access the internet if she wants to. And her bedtime is at 9:30. So, you know, the goal is to keep your child safe, not only when they're, you know, with you, but when they're at school or when they're on their own, you know, looking up stuff on the internet. I think it's important for you to be generous with, like, your rewards. I'm very affectionate with my daughter. I tell her I love her. I give her hugs, you know. I affirm her, and I make her repeat affirmations after me. I build her up. I build her up, because the world is so cruel. It's, you know, like someone else is out there for every time you build them up 5 times, someone's out there trying to knock them down 6. Okay, so you know, I try to be very generous with my rewards with her, and I compliment her. And I find that when the more that I reward her, the better it is that, like, her behavior continues to kind of lean in that good direction. So I personally feel like you can pay kids for good grades. We get paid as adults for work, you know, and it's okay to pay your kid for the work that they're doing in school. I like to tell my daughter that she only has one job, and that is to make good grades. So how do you keep an employee happy, right? You pay them. So I feel like the same concept works for kids. You know, it doesn't have to be an actual salary. $5 goes a long way in the kid's eye, right? Because they don't know the value of money in that sense. But my daughter also has an allowance card. And so when she does her chores, or if I just, you know, feeling really good that day, or maybe it's payday, I want to give her a little extra, I just transfer that money over to her card. And, you know, there's different cards that you can use. We currently use Current, but they also have a Green Light card that you can use. So do your research on what will work for you. Number 6, you need to set proper boundaries and be consistent with discipline. Make sure that you have very clear expectations. Like, if there's a problem, I'm the one to, you know, sit down with my daughter and say, hey, listen, if you do XYZ, then this is the consequence for doing XYZ, okay? And I make sure that she repeats it back to me so that I can make sure that she understands exactly what I'm saying. Because a lot of times we communicate for, you know, and we think that the person understands what we're trying to say, but really and truly, communication is more so that, you know, not so that we can hear ourselves talk, but just to make sure that they really do understand and get it. And when you're communicating with a child, you do need to scale it back a little bit to get on their level and for them to understand where you're coming from. And so I like to get eye level with her when we're talking about boundaries and when we're talking about discipline. So maybe I'll bend down, or maybe we'll sit down and make sure that, you know, we're having a clear conversation so that there's no confusion. But discipline is so necessary. I mean, like, some people don't believe in discipline, and I'm like, your child, I don't know what kind of child this is going to be when they grow up. Like they have no limit, and that is extremely scary. The purpose of discipline, what people have to understand, is not to punish a child. Like, there's a difference between discipline and punishment. Okay, discipline really helps a child, you know, have self-control. If you don't have any boundaries or any limits, then they'll grow into very irresponsible adults as well. So you can't wait for the teacher to actually teach your child these types of disciplines. This is something that they have to learn in the house. So, for example, you need to have some house rules that they can follow in addition to chores. For example, we have some house rules like no eating in the bedroom. Go take a shower as soon as you get out from school. Put your book bag in the corner because it's dirty with germs. Like, say I don't play that in my home. I don't like people walking with shoes on my carpet because I like to walk on my carpet barefoot and shoes are disgusting. So, you know, I taught her to follow those rules very early on in our household. And so when you do that and they're following the rules in your household, then when they go to school, it should not be a surprise that they're also following the rules in school. Children are just like their parents, okay? Like, you don't know where this child is getting this behavior from. Really? What are you really doing at home? Okay, because they can't just be getting it from nowhere. Okay, like, there's something going on at home that causes a child to behave a certain way at school. All right, establishing those house rules, again, helps them develop that self-control and understands those expectations. And you know, we have a bedtime. Like, even when my daughter has a nanny, if I'm out of town for work, she still goes to bed at her natural time. You know, like, she knows exactly what to do. It's just like, it's so ingrained into her at this point where it's just like, she's not getting off the routine because that's what she knows what to do because she was taught to do it. And so make sure as well that if you do have a consequence, if they do break a rule, you know, to have a systematic approach to it. I mean, don't overdo it with the punishment or the consequence, not the punishment. Don't overdo it. If make sure that whatever the consequence is it's equitable to whatever the offense was, okay? And also follow through with what you said you're going to do. Don't do idle threats. If you say you are getting your privileges taken away, then you do that. If you say it's for 2 weeks, don't let it be a week. Let it be 2 weeks, because they need to see that consistent approach when it comes to consequences, because that's going to teach them what to expect, okay? Number seven, I believe in giving my child undivided attention. So what I mean by that is I take my daughter on dates. We go get our nails done. We go to the park. We go to movies, restaurants, you name it. We probably have done it because I'm not a homebody and I love to explore different things. So to her benefit, you know, she gets to explore all of these things as well, because I try to expose her to as much as possible when I'm with her. And I try my best to give her all of my attention when I'm with her. Kids really don't need that much. They just want you to be present. You know how many times, you know, kids would be like, you know, I just wish my dad was there. They didn't say, oh, I just wish my dad gave me more money. They didn't say, oh, you know, I just wish my dad took me on more trips. They just want you to be there. They can sense when you're really distracted, and after a while, they're gonna just lose respect for you because you continue to ignore them. Like, kids are people, they have real feelings, and you have to acknowledge that. Don't diminish the fact, or don't make them feel like they don't have light inside of them because they're, you know, tinier than you. They probably have more light than you, and they're probably more conscious, you know, because they're not living life through so many filters. So honor that. Honor the fact that they are a gift. Honor the fact that they are, you know, carrying your legacy. You know, kids who actually aren't getting the attention that they want from their parents, I mean, those kids act out because they want to be seen. They want attention. I personally pack my daughter's lunch every day, and I write her a special note for her lunchbox. And I know it seems like a lot of work, but you know, it's just an extra 2 minutes of thoughtfulness. Even if you can't write a note every day, try and do it once a week, maybe once a month. But try to do those small things that they're going to remember. Maybe surprise them at lunch with, like, you know, their favorite lunch, and bring some lunches for their friends as well. And you'll be the cool mom or the cool dad. I mean, those little things show the child that you're actually showing up for them. I also think it's important that number eight is what, you know, whenever my daughter messes up or, you know, does something that I don't like, I try to tell her that I love you no matter what, but I did not like what you did when I'm upset at her. That way I can have her separate the action from herself, because I don't want her to think that she's a bad girl. Maybe she did a bad thing, but she's not a bad girl. You know what I'm saying? There is a difference for the kid to start to identify and associate themselves with being bad. And it is your responsibility to correct your kids. But you have to do so in a loving manner. You cannot be out here like, you know, putting them down, you're stupid, you're this, you're that. Like, first of all, when somebody is talking like that to their kids, I'm already cringing because I'm saying to myself, like, I don't need you getting upset with my kid because ain't nobody gonna talk to my kid sideways, period. To segue, I remember a time where one of her teachers, you know, she was late to class because she had had just an emergency appointment that she needed to go to for her teeth. And so she was a little late and she went to go use a stapler to staple her homework because that was one of the rules inside the class. And her teacher said to her, you know, if you weren't late, then you would have, you know, you wouldn't have needed the stapler or something to that effect. Basically being very passive aggressive with her and trying to embarrass her in front of the class as if her being tardy had something to do with her, right? Her being tardy was all on me. Nothing to do with my child. It was my decision to take her to the doctor that day for her teeth because of that emergency. So that teacher was so out of line. So I remember having to check that teacher very politely over email. I mean, like, I freaking did a dissertation on that ass because I was like, you're not about to try my kid, period, under any circumstance, even in the slightest form of disrespect like that. I do not play. And so from that moment forward, she was my best friend. Okay, like, she like literally turned it around. And also, parents, I do want to say this just to kind of segue again. When you're going to your child's school, don't look like a bum. Dress up, look nice, you know, carry yourself with some presence so that the teacher can respect you. You know, don't be one of those parents that, you know, just kind of just goes in there looking any type of way, speaking any type of way, because they're going to be talking about you in the teacher's lounge, okay? So you need to have a certain decorum about you. Look like you have your stuff together. Even if you're a stay-at-home mom, I don't care. Put on your best dress. Go to that school with your hair done, okay? Talk to that teacher with a fresh face, okay? So that they can have some respect for you. I remember after that incident with that teacher, she even looked me up on LinkedIn and she saw I had worked for this, you know, quote unquote, big company. And, you know, her respect level went up for me a couple more notches, okay? So just know that all these things do matter. Last but not least, you know, check yourself. If you're not good, your kids will not be good. It's perfectly okay for you to, you know, recharge and refuel. I am unapologetic about the time that I spend with my damn self. I am, you know, parenting alone at this point. Like, I don't even consider myself a single mom because, I mean, God be coming through all the time, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, like, in all seriousness, like, I go get myself massages. I take myself to the massage parlor and get a massage. I take myself to go get my nails done. Sometimes I go get my, I do stuff for myself because if I am not good, my daughter cannot be good. Period. Like, you have to take yourself out. You need to meditate. You need to get your mind together, your mental wellness, your physical wellness. If you can have all the money in the world, but if you're sick, I mean, what good is that, right? Take care of your body, go work out, eat healthy foods. All of those things are so, so important. And so yes, check yourself, you know, take some time out from parenting to do the things that will make you feel good about yourself. So that's all I have for you guys today. I hope that you enjoyed it. And if you have any suggestions on what you want me to talk about, let me know. Joyce is making better choices. Okay. Bye-bye.